Grab
Can all commissioners see and hear? A notified of
Yes.
that. Thumbs up. Yes, there we go. Can all members of the public see and hear? Okay, I'm gonna say yes. This
Yes.
meeting
Oh, okay.
is being recorded. Once President Brooks asks me to call the roll, indicate you are here as well as give permission to record by verbally stating here, permission to record.
Okay. So I need to
Would
call
you
the
like
first.
me to say it and then we can just go on?
I call the February 2nd, 2021 Committee of the Whole meeting to order. Lisa, call the roll, note the time.
Perfect. It's 8:45. Member Bourne?
Yes, Commissioner Trayford.
Member Covey?
Yes, permission to record.
Member Ludden?
Yes, permission to record.
Member Underdunk?
Yes, permission to record.
Chair Brooks?
Yes, permission to record. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. Okay, so moving on to the business of the review of Boating Beach Stairs.
All right, so I believe John's here. So we're going to throw it over to John McManus and Chris to talk about the second review of the stair for the Boating Beach.
Thank you, Lisa. And again, you know, propers go to John and his team for fully revising the design inside of like a 2 week window. So we revised, I'll let John talk a little bit about the design, but the commissioner feedback we took away was further developing the stair concept. And John can kind of talk about it from that point on. Jenny, can you make John a co-host so she can share?
Already did. He's ready to go.
Well,
John, you're
I don't have the drawings with me. I thought they were issued to all the.
Okay, so I'll share my screen.
Okay, cool. Did you move the tree, John?
We avoided the tree.
That's right.
We're miles away from the tree.
Can everybody see the updated concept?
No,
it's not the concept. It's the budget, capital project budget.
I'm so glad you're doing this, Chris. It's your turn.
I know, right?
Nice picture.
I don't have to worry.
Is this what the beach is going to look like?
Yeah. That's probably what it looks like right now.
Can we see it?
Hey. Here we go. Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
That
you guys, have the commissioners seen this?
Yes. This is from their packet.
Yeah.
All right, good, good. So there's no surprises yet.
Nope.
Now, Josh, do you see that tree? We're miles away from it now.
I love it.
Good, good, good. So we tried to simplify. You can see it's a straight shot now, easier to construct. You wanted some bench at the base and where you could change your shoes, and then halfway up for us seniors that we might take a rest, we could always take those benches off if you wish. It's up to you guys. And information on it, we've decided on a compass, a composite wood product because it will relieve Chris of more maintenance. This area gets really hit badly in the winter. And then Siri's joining in. I hate when she does that. Anyway, the original design for the railings, which you saw an image of in the first package, we contacted the manufacturer and it will take 12 weeks to deliver. So that would totally blow our deadline. So we're redesigning all the rails, just to let you know. And Chris, you don't know this one.
Oh, that's just what I wanted to hear in a public meeting, John.
Well, I can call you later and tell you if you like.
No, I'm sorry.
The senior structural engineer from Siebel visited the site, and he wants to move the stairs further towards the lake because of the condition of the bluff. So we will actually be moving it further away. That gives us, means we have to put an extra panel in, which will increase the cost a little. But at the moment we have it, I think it's a 30% contingency. So I'm not too concerned. Oh, actually it's 20%. And
so John, we're at least as good or better than the numbers we presented in the last meeting, right?
Let's keep it at the same numbers for the moment, because after hearing this from the structural engineer, we have to hit the boards and do you a new cost estimate. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, they're the same, so, okay.
Yeah.
But for the moment, the same.
Is the board good with this general concept? We changed, we took out the ramps, obviously. We put the benches that you requested. It's a very simple design. It's away from the water plant.
Yeah.
Everybody good with this?
I'm fine with it. How does everybody feel about those two benches on the middle landing?
Being the senior citizen, I don't think I want extra benches. I just want to get up and down the steps.
Dudley, we can take them out.
Terrific. And I'll save us a little bit of money.
Exactly. We'll take them out.
Would you take out that whole landing then, John, or just take the benches off the landing?
We probably have to keep the landing, yeah.
We need it for ADA.
Yeah.
We can't go beyond approximately 14 steps.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And we just want to make sure we don't have a future problem.
John, would that mean that landing would then be the same width as the stairs, or you would contract?
Correct.
Okay. And that would be a savings of, do you have a sense of what the savings would be?
I wouldn't dream of doing that without examining it. Thank you. Chris would kill me. Actually, Jane would kill me because she does the cost estimates.
All of us would kill you, John. I mean, Lisa, $5,000-$10,000, no problem.
Huh. How do you think? How do you feel about that, Josh? Because I think you're the one that wanted it. You know, one at the bottom to put your shoes on, the one halfway up.
Yeah, I find I've been thinking since I saw this in the first place. Is there a way to move one of the two middle benches down to the bottom, or make the bottom one like slightly longer or L-shaped or something? Because it's, you know, it's often like a family or a number of, you know, it's not.
No problem. We'll move one down and then remove all benches from the middle landing and shrink the middle landing.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Okay. That way, if you have a family of four, you all can put your shoes on at the same time.
Yeah, and you don't want to have to sit next to somebody you don't know. So
exactly. That'd be awful. COVID.
It's true. People do not like that.
That's true.
So, Lisa, do we have that consensus then to remove the landing and put two benches down on the bottom then?
I thought we could not remove the landing, but we can make it smaller.
Make it smaller.
Yes.
And just very quickly, the landing at the bottom would then be the width of the one that has the two benches on now, correct? So we would widen that landing.
Well, we would widen it. We wouldn't lengthen it. If we widen it, it'll be cheaper than lengthening it and putting the benches side by side.
Okay.
So if that's okay with Josh,
so you're gonna,
the family may have to sit facing each other.
Yeah, I'm imagining you basically take a Control C on the middle landing and paste it at the bottom.
Yep. Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, but they charge you for that, Josh.
Yeah.
So we're saving money by
structural engineer will charge us.
We're saving money by making that middle one smaller and removing the benches, but paying a little more to make the bottom one wider and adding a bench.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have to also add a little piece at the top to push it further away from the bluff. The chief structural engineer was concerned over time, if you really want this to last for two generations, erosion on the bluff could cause some issues about the joint between the stairs and the pathway. So he wanted to be sure to be sure.
Okay.
And Chris only found out about that at 6:30.
So John, there's right now the vegetation that's under the stairs is called babyhead boulders. do you really are we actually going to be able to grow this beautiful native planting?
This is diagrammatic, only diagrammatic. We would have very little planting to the right of the stairs because there's an existing swale full of rock, like you mentioned, riprap. And we're trying to figure out the drainage on the bluff behind us.
Uh-huh.
And one thought is to put a sort of a trough and then bring a drain to that swale where the boulders are on the right hand side and use that rather than trying to connect to distant manholes and stormwater sewer, which would save us money. So in reality, that green is very nice. Thank you, Carlos, but it'll probably only appear on the left-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to need something that can grow in appalling soil because it's mostly clay. I mean, the clay up in Glencove is like concrete. So we will plant and we'll plant to reinforce the slope. It won't be as extensive as is shown in this concept.
I guess I have some aesthetic concerns.
Okay.
Because the underneath the, I mean, essentially what you're showing where it says 10 foot 3 inches now is that's basically just rocks right now.
Mm.
And I guess I have some aesthetic concerns with that. And also I want to make sure that the drainage actually works and we're not paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for these stairs and then have them get washed out in a season two.
Right. Right. Well, the rocks are very important because they are currently stopping erosion in that location. So if we remove the rocks, you start getting erosion.
I'm not saying you should remove the rocks. I think I'm articulating two concerns that aren't necessarily connected or even logically, they might be adverse to one another.
Okay.
But I think we ought to think about like what is under the current stairs is not attractive at all. In fact, it's the opposite of attractive. It's unattractive.
Okay.
And so we're going to spend a lot of money on these fancy, attractive stairs, but then you're going to look down into what looks like an eroding ditch. Ideally would find a way that it does not look like an eroding ditch, but it does have the structure that it needs to not erode. And then the other thing is just making sure that the drainage is such that not only does it not look bad, but it doesn't erode the foundations of the new stairs.
Oh, that's our primary concern. That's what happened before. The foundations failed.
Yeah.
So primary is to protect the stairs and the foundations and the structure. And then we'll come up with an aesthetic solution, I can assure you.
Okay.
First thing that comes to mind, we could do pockets out there of soil and plant Virginia creeper.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about 3 years to take off, and then it will really take off, and it would cover most of that.
Yeah, Virginia creeper is impossible to kill. So
Well, I'm sorry, Chris. I don't want to give you a future problem. But...
Well, I mean, we'll be cleaning Virginia Creeper off the bottom of the landing in 3 years, but I think
Josh will be happy.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's a landscape solution to not making the entrance to the boating beach feel like a drainage ditch.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's good feedback to really, you know, and that's the real reason that you guys are on the project, John, is because we could have just gone out and gotten a structural engineer and had a structural solution, but we wanted it to look pretty because it's important to us. So
it'll look pretty.
Excellent.
And there's always sumac.
Oh, I know there is. Little red twig dogwood. That's my favorite, John.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I would just very quickly, just an alternate way of looking at this. I've always seen this stairway in our discussion about it as being a very functional investment. And although, you know me, I like things to look nice. I wouldn't overemphasize unnecessarily landscaping something that is really just people looking at their feet walking up and down the stairs. And I would rather see some other sort of beautification that, you know, if people are sitting on the boating beach that they're enjoying rather than the, you know, what's around them or underneath them when they're going up and down the stairs. So for what it's worth, I'm sure you guys will figure out something that's not very expensive and that aids in the prevention of erosion and will not look like, you know, a dump.
And won't need maintenance for Chris.
Yes.
And my next miracle. Yeah. Okay. We'll find a solution.
Silk flowers.
So are we good here? Has John? Does anyone have any questions for John?
Oh, by the way, there was something I wanted to mention about a previous discussion. Chris did mention the possibility of a master plan for Lakefront Park and getting an OSLAC grant. And you also talked about the crib wall. Part of the crib wall project is to provide proper drainage for Lakefront Park. If we design that part as part of the crib project, it might be constructed later as part of an OSLAC grant for Lakefront Park. So
definitely good feedback, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I mean, Lisa Shepherd, Lisa Brooks, do we need to see a revised concept come back to the board before we go out to bid, or are we ready, based on the feedback that was given today, to go and, you know, proceed with bidding so we can get this in for the season?
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we had a lot of direction of the board. I don't think it has to come back again.
I certainly don't need to see another drawing and waste everybody's time and money on another drawing.
Well, I would just like to get it out to bid so we can get it.
Yeah.
So it's all about speed.
It's all about speed right now.
Yeah. So, yeah. Josh, how do you feel about that? Are you okay with moving forward?
I appreciate you guys humoring my concerns and answering my questions.
Stephanie, you're good?
I'm good.
Dudley?
Just as a reminder, control that stormwater runoff so we don't get erosion.
Absolutely.
Very good. And Michael?
No worries. That's good.
Okay, great. John, once again, thank you.
Thank you.
Our best to
Joseph. Pleasure seeing you all.
Very good. Thank
all
you.
All the best.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
So great. So then now we are going to move on to discuss our large scale special events for 2021. And that is Lisa Shepherd and Bobby to lead that discussion.
Excellent. So believe it or not, we already have to start planning for summer events, and namely 4th of July. Okay. So as you recall, we were able to take the deposit from last year's 4th of July and move it to this fiscal year. We have to make a decision by March whether we would like to have the fireworks on the 4th of July or at some later date, say Labor Day or even September 11th, for all that matters. If we say, well, we're going to stick to 4th of July and end up not being in phase five and able to have the 4th of July, we would lose the $10,000. There's no moving that again. And they made the fireworks have made very clear. And in addition, they're not going to let us wait till May to make the decision, because if we don't use it on 4th of July, they could possibly, who knows, book someone else. So I wanted to get your feeling on what you thought of that. Would you, do you want to take the risk and try to have it on the 4th of July? Do you want to move it to later in the summer when there's more vaccines, more of the community has been vaccinated? They are projecting late summer to fall to have everybody vaccinated. And the way it's going, that looks pretty about accurate to me. So that's one choice. You know, if we did decide to say not do the fireworks on the 4th of July, we could do something. We could have the beach open for the community. We could even say that on the 4th of July or every holiday for that matter, only season pass holders could go in. And if we knew that information ahead of time when we start to market our season passes, that would be a real incentive for people to buy season passes if they knew that's the only way they get on the beach on the 4th of July type thing. Just an idea. If we chose to have the 4th of July fireworks on the 4th of July, and we wanted to do everything else that's surrounded, that's, again, more of a big financial risk. Because if we start booking any kind of entertainment, food trucks, bands, now they've all gotten wise and they put them this pandemic in their claws. And pretty much we would lose any deposit if we went ahead with it and then canceled. So there's more of a risk to that this year also. So I just want to know your feelings. The second one is that we had a gentleman from Glencoe that his foundation would like to donate to the park district just because he's really wants to see big community events that draw the community together to come back after COVID. He wants to sponsor a band and a pretty big name band on the beach this summer. He'd pay for the band, he'd pay for the foundation would, the stage, all expenses related to the event. And then we would charge to have people come in, and that actually was our idea because you give away free tickets and people tend not to come, so you do a little charge. The money from those tickets would be split between the Parks District and his foundation, go back in, and then we would be in charge of any beer and food sales and things like that. So we could generate revenue that way also. And anybody with a season pass would get a discount on the tickets. We made it very clear to this gentleman that unless we're in phase 5, we wouldn't do this, that we thought maybe also Labor Day might be a better alternative for this event also. So we sent him back to his booking agent to see if they could move it at the last minute. And I said I'd bring it to you as a board. So the first one I want to talk about, though, is 4th of July. What are your thoughts?
Can you just repeat that with the 4th of July with that $10,000? So if we don't do it in July, we lose that $10,000.
So wherever we book, so if we're going to call him on March 1st and say we want July 4th or we want, say, Labor Day, or idea was September 11th, because that's a Saturday this year, we would have to tell them on March 1st which date we wanted. If we say 4th of July and it comes to 4th of July and we're not in phase 5, actually even before that we have to tell them we're not in phase 5, we lose that money. It's no taking that money and moving it. So we may have to make a decision and decide what we want to do.
Got it.
Thoughts?
Dudley,
you're muted.
Okay, question. Has the village made any stance on 4th of July?
We have a meeting. They have not made any official stance on the 4th of July. They talk to their board just like we're talking to you. Labor Day was also thrown out as option, and they actually threw it back to them and said, go meet with the park district. And I said, well, I have to meet with my board first. So they're on the fence also, but I want you to know that we take the bigger financial risk for the fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's our beach and, you know, all that good stuff. So, Josh.
I would not support trying to get 1,000 people in it down the beach until we're darn sure that most of the population is vaccinated.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Fourth of July is premature. And if the discussion then moves to what about Labor Day, I would, I guess, entertain that. I mean, I don't know. How does everybody else feel about it? So that it would be like an end of summer celebration, community-wide celebration, end of summer kind of thing, where we would promote it as a park district event where we would have fireworks or not. I don't know if that's like what you're, or it would just be a big party on the beach.
We lose, if we don't do the fireworks, we lose $10,000 this year, right?
No, what I'm saying, we would do like a 4th of July type of celebration, but yes, it would be over the, so then it would also be inclusive of fireworks.
Correct.
At the Labor Day. Okay.
Yep. And there might even be a better, if someone wants to finance it, there might even be a better chance to get a barge and any other day but July 4th. July 4th is the one that's really hard to get. So there might be a chance we can get a barge if we had it on a different date.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's a shame to waste the $10,000, and I would be in favor of doing the fireworks. Probably safer to do it in September. I mean, the kids aren't going to be vaccinated, so I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make, because it's just the way it's going to be. But September is probably a safer bet for the adults.
Yeah.
I'd go for October and do like a fall festival or something, and but I guess I won't be on the board at the time, but I would encourage you to like consider just canceling it if there is any doubt, because
yeah,
I do not, I would not want to be involved in promoting a large social event until we're confident that, you know, the vast majority of the people there are vaccinated.
And we could move to October, just as you know, being a sailor, the weather on the beach is not always the best in October. So it would be early October. And I guess, and Bobby, you'll have to tell me this. If we say, okay, we don't want July 4th, we'll release that date, but we say we want it for Labor Day or September 11th, or even later in September, whatever we do, and we commit to that date, but say we know late August, early September, that still we're still nervous, we can still cancel at that time and only pay the $10,000, right?
Yeah, I believe so. So we would lose the $10,000, but we would not pay the additional $10,000 that we signed the contract for. But if, you know, we cancel 2 days before or a week before, obviously we're not going to get a refund on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we could make an evaluation, it sounds like, Bobby, in mid-August and say, in good faith, can we promote this event for September 20th, or do we just need to pull the plug on it?
Exactly.
And, you know, people are at the beach. There's 600 people that we have at the beach. You know, I don't know what our numbers were for the summer, even in the height of the pandemic. So people know what they're comfortable with. They know if they want to attend or not. They know how to stay away from people. I think by September, you're going to have a vast majority of the adults. So I think some of it you have to leave to people to make their own individual decision.
Yep. And if we're in phase five is when I would feel comfortable doing it. We can't do it in phase four, no matter what, because phase four allows only 50, right, Dobby?
Yep.
Allows only for 50. So, you know, we go by the IDPH standards. So if come mid-August, we're still in phase four and it doesn't look like we're going to be, you know, there's people we could call to say, is there any chance? Then we know we can't do it. So we would only do it. And that's the same with that other gentleman. So we'll only do it if we're in phase five.
Well, if we don't do it, we're still going to lose the 10,000. So it's not really much of a risk, in my opinion, because we'll lose it anyway.
Either way, yeah. But I just think 4th of July is really too premature. I don't think we're going to be there.
Yeah, I agree.
Does it make sense to even consider it this summer, because there is a risk inherent in it, and because it impacts how we're going to promote the beach passes, I guess, because Labor Day weekend, you know, is a great beach pass weekend. Does it make sense to even consider this? And I guess I'd sort of err on the Josh side of this. I don't want to be involved in anything. I don't care if IDPH says it's phase five. I don't want to be involved in anything that promotes large scale gatherings before it is widely accepted to be perfectly safe. That's just me. That's the way I look at it.
I think you'll see, though, there's a ton of summer promotion coming out for huge concerts already and festivals.
I don't know about that, Stephanie.
I mean,
a lot of them being canceled. But be that as it may, we don't know. And I think the question is, how confident are you in the risk assessment each one of us is now making in terms of what we perceive is going to happen over the summer?
My vote would be for September. I think that you might be surprised.
Okay, Dudley?
Late September, but I'm very, very concerned about the COVID. As much as I've been locked up for such a long time, I think I'd like to err on the side of being conservative on this, and maybe we let it pass till next year.
Michael, what do you think?
You're on the table, or is the question July?
Get a little closer, Michael.
Yeah.
All right. Is next year on the table, or is the question July versus September?
Yeah, lose that $10,000 deposit. So next year's, for July next year, we're going to lose the deposit.
Yeah, I think I side with the other members of the board here. I think I'm nervous about July, about promoting something. If things change rapidly, maybe we can knock on someone's door and see if someone can do fireworks in July. But if we were deciding right now, which sounds like we are, I think it's probably not the wisest.
I think some of us, Lisa Brooks and I might be, Lisa, correct me if this is not your opinion, but I think there's a lot of probably cost in terms of staff, agita, and time trying to plan something that may or may not happen. And it might be just the better part of valor to say, we're just not doing it in 2021. And use the staff's time and energy planning things that we know we can do safely, rather than this, maybe we will, maybe we won't major event, whether it's September 11th or October 10th.
Well, and that's a very good point. And Lisa, isn't there also the opportunity to not, we're attaching this to the 4th of July and a similar sort of thing, but couldn't we have the street festival you dreamed of when we got the gold medal? Couldn't we still have a community-wide event that doesn't involve too much of a pre-investment ahead of time of staff time and investment in fireworks and all the rest of that? Couldn't we do something if it appears in the summer that the fall is going to be free and clear?
Yeah, but can I just clarify again? We still, if you guys decide you're not willing to have it for September, we will lose $10,000.
Yeah, yeah. So, to Stephanie's point, we could say, hey, let's tell them we want to do it. Say, if we don't want to do it over Labor Day and worry about the beach, maybe do it September 11th or 20th or whatever, and say, we're gonna book it for this date. Come August, if we're not comfortable, then we lose the 10,000, we're gonna lose it anyways if we say, hey, we're not gonna do it at all this year, right? So let's not plan anything else around it, but just let's put a pin on that for July. And then back to you, Lisa, what we found has been very, very successful this year is when we do smaller events that bring the community together. The community has this need to want to come together. The movie in the park was a great example. The things that we're doing at Watts, smaller things that we're able to control where people are placed. So maybe we want to take the money that we invested in 4th July and move it to if Ravinia doesn't open. I have not heard if they are or not, so I don't know. But if they don't, why don't we do concert series at the gazebo or at Takeoff? Because other park districts have been very successful doing the circles like we did for Movie in the Park, or like a parking lot where everybody pulls in and gets a little spot in the parking lot. So those have been very successful. So we could do more of those that people may be more comfortable going to, as opposed to the big that draws thousands. Our biggest concern is if we're the only one doing fireworks at any given date, that think about all the people. So say we do it, I think we're all in agreement, probably 4th of July is not the great day, but we do it and all of a sudden everybody from every community comes into Glencoe which we don't necessarily want either. So so what I think we could do is say, okay, 4th of July is off the table. So I can go back to the village and say, we're not going to do 4th of July fireworks or really large scale activities. We can be in better, we can be in discussion if we want to do something smaller and things like that, the race and stuff that they still want to do it. And really we're going to put a pin, maybe do this, the fireworks maybe after Labor Day so we can still have the beach season, maybe do it the weekend after or something and do something like that. And then come August, come revisit if we even want to do the fireworks. So not even advertise it. It will be a pop-up. If we're able to do it, we'll say, hey, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Everybody feels comfortable. So the board at that point, come July or August, will make a decision for September. But we'll tell the fireworks company, nope, we don't want it for 4th of July, but we want it on this date. It's to be determined. And we'll talk to the village. We'll work with the village because they're a big part of that to make that happen. So, Bobby, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think that's a good option. I think it is what it is. We're $10,000 in, and that's really the options we have.
I view it as the $10,000 is a sunk cost. So, you know, just make the best decision you can for what is the best thing for the community now, given what you know. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about the fact that you already spent that $10,000. Like, if fireworks is not the right thing this year, then it's not the right thing.
Right. Right. How does that sound, everyone?
Good.
Does that give you direction? Do you understand?
Well, I guess the direction is we'll go back to fireworks and say definitely not the 4th of July. And then we'll maybe put a pin on a different date, knowing that we may lose that money, come back and revisit to the board once we have more information on vaccines and see what everybody's feeling.
Yeah, I 4th of July, I think, is probably not happening, but you're right. We could revisit end of summer, beginning of the fall.
Okay. That sounds really good.
Can you give a little more insight? Can you give me a little more insight into the band? Do we know who this band is? Are we not allowed to talk about it? Or
you know, I don't know if they have booked the band, but it is a big name.
You band. Too.
Is it like the band that they usually hire for the like 16 Candles, or is it like?
Oh no! It's a national band.
Okay.
It's a national draw.
Hopefully it's country.
Well, one country band was thrown out. And I don't know. I'm not sure if that's what. So I think it was the bands he threw out, which I don't know if he's in negotiations. I don't really want to say anything meeting. But they were pretty big names and names that we recognize that would be suitable for Glencoe.
I mean, I personally think that, you know, we are definitely passing on July 4th, it sounds like. But I do think that we should think a little heavy, you know, a little heavier on that Labor Day weekend, with the basic reason of the town is going to have a thirst for events like that. The town certainly missed on the Glencoe Grand Prix block party, which everybody was at. So I think there's a thirst for those things. So I kind of like it, but I'm hoping the band is like a real band and not.
No, they're a real band. And that's exactly what he was thinking, the same thing, that it was really sad that the Glencoe Grand Prix wasn't going on anymore. And that was a really nice community gathering. And the beach is such a treasured, you know, everybody loves being down there. And as we know that, the one thing about that activity, if we're in phase 5 and we have that, we can actually control how many people go down there for that band. So that's a little more easier control because we would sell tickets to it. So if we say there's only 600 people allowed down there, then that's it. I mean,
there's a huge difference between a community 4th of July celebration and get in line and get your ticket in order to go to the beach. And by the way, if you have a beach pass, you can't go because we're shutting it down to put this band on. I'm not comfortable with it at all. And I also think that you have to book a band months in advance and there's just too much risk that it isn't going to happen. I mean, that alone doesn't.
You don't pay for it.
But it's not our risk. It's their risk totally. This is the gentleman who wants to donate all this. And, yeah. you're right. We would have to close the beach early that day.
Yes.
So one day of the summer, would that be okay if we give people advance notice? I mean, it's up to the board. Just you have to let me know if that's okay with you, because I have to go back to them and say if this is even a possibility. But
now you're going back. Are you going back to middle of July and closing on a beautiful summer weekend? Are you saying that that band would be playing at our August event?
Well, he first threw out a July date, and I said, you know, I'm going to be honest with it. I don't think it's going to be. We're going to be in phase five, and we're going to be comfortable. But that was the first date throughout. And then it went to, we said, well, what about Labor Day? And I threw it down the road for that. So.
I'm okay with it. I prefer not a holiday weekend.
Oh, yes, not a holiday. Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess Labor Day is part of the holiday. But.
Yeah. It's a holiday weekend, yeah. I'm against it, and I'll just finish this. First of all, if it's going to be raising money from Glencoe residents, that money, whatever profit that you talked about in that description, needs to go to the park district. I don't think it should be divided between us and a foundation, because if I buy a ticket, I don't know where that money is going. You know, so I don't know what that foundation is. I don't know what they give money to. It makes me uncomfortable, because this is a, you know, this is a taxpayer funded venue. And I think that if a resident really wants to support the community, they could sponsor or underwrite one of our events easily. And I think that's a better way to go. But that's I'll conclude with that.
Anybody else?
I largely agree with Lisa, and I wouldn't, just to build on it, I don't see how I could support having a band where every concert I've ever been to, everybody crowds towards the stage, which is like even worse than fireworks, right? And it's the opposite of just a day at the beach where everybody gets as far away from everybody else as they can.
Well, that's why it couldn't happen until phase five.
Yeah.
Or Michael?
Yeah, I'm not as vehemently opposed to Josh and Lisa. I mean, I think there's options for the community to like listen to the music from the lakefront park if they don't have tickets down to the beach. You know, I like the idea of events. I don't think this is we should never kick you know, do it in the middle of July if the beach is closed. Isn't the beach closed? When is the beach officially closed? Is it after Labor Day?
Labor Day is the last day.
Labor Day. Yeah. I mean, would it make a difference, Lisa or Josh, if we were to do this a week later on a Saturday?
Like that September 11th day.
Is it the beach or is it the, closing of the beach or is it the simple, like limiting guest factor that's frustrating?
For me, it's just layers of like, I'm not convinced that we're going to be all completely back to normal by September 11th,
mm-hmm.
period, from a health perspective. Second, I think the where's the money going question that Lisa raised is a very good one. Maybe that could be answered, but on the surface, I don't know where. And certainly I wouldn't want to close access. You know, if you've sold beach passes to people and then you tell them, well, you can't access the beach, that's not an issue after Labor Day, but
right.
Certainly before then it would be.
Yeah. Well, that's good feedback. Thank you.
Dudley, anything did you weigh in?
Yeah, I think... we can approach the sponsor and say, how would he like to sponsor the entire event?
Well, he is sponsoring the entire event.
But he wants to keep funds for the foundation.
Well, he's paying for all the expenses. And then, yes, that was the one. We can negotiate that out. So if I say, you know, the board's not interested in splitting the tickets with the foundation, I don't know if that would be a done deal or not. Probably not, but.
Yeah,
my comfort level would be higher after Labor Day, and if the Park District were the beneficiary of his goodwill. Only the Park District.
Okay.
Is this the same person that approached us last year for an event?
Yes.
Just curious. And also, I think we should keep in mind, you know, we don't want to always turn away someone who may in the future donate or do something. I have no idea who this individual is, so this is not anything personal at all. I have no clue. I couldn't even guess.
But you're correct about that.
But I just want to say that, you know, some of it is going to the Park District. I understand the health concerns. I also think that, you know, maybe I'm an optimist, or maybe, I don't know, but I do think that just as quickly as we close down is just as quickly as some things will go back. And I know that we can't predict that, but I think we're going to see different things coming along, and we're going to have to adapt to that as well. And, you know, I just don't want to turn away someone that it sounds like from the staff's perspective is an individual who may in the future contribute to something.
Exactly. He's coming from a place that wants to.
And there are wonderful opportunities for that. So Lisa, I don't know. I hope you can go out with what we've talked about. Or
I can take that. Yep. Okay.
All right. Yep.
So it's good. I did no 4th of July as far as big events. And so I'll take that direction on into the village. That's perfect for that meeting. Anything else we want to talk about? Do you want us to add into the budget to the second draft of the budget ideas for like smaller concerts? Those are more like the 16 candles and stuff like that. Small concert series in our parks. Do you want us to add that in?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know how expensive they are. Are they like 15 or 20,000 or 5,000?
Oh God, no. We're talking 1,500 to 2,000. It's very affordable. Very affordable. Yeah, it's affordable.
I mean, you're so good at events. It's the way that you're constantly connecting to the community and reminding them that the Park District is there to serve them and their needs. I would say anything, everything you can do like you did last year, but maybe even more, would be appropriate.
Yeah, small, keep them safe and type thing. Okay, perfect.
Well, that sounds like a good draw for adults in the community. And that's, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we can do it. We know we can do it safely. You know, it'd be a nice way to showcase Cough when all the grass grows in.
Oh, yes. Very good. Anything else on events? Are you done, Lisa? Any other business?
Yeah, I think that's it. We have a couple other business. Chris, I'm going to throw it to you for other business really quick. Make it short.
I'm sorry, my chocolate bar is wearing off, so bear with me. I'm going to share my screen. So we had initially talked at the December 15th committee meeting about including the plaza in the Cough Park project as an alternate. But in going back and reviewing those notes, we really wanted to kind of flush that out and make sure that we're not adding something that there isn't consensus on if it is a part of the project. So I'm going to share my screen here. Can everybody see the Veterans Park, the artist conception of the Veterans Park Plaza?
Yes.
Okay, so this is what we had initially talked about kind of as the alternate for the Cough Park Plaza. But in this, we have the decorative pavers, but we also have the splitting of the seat wall and a pathway going through. So you can see in Cough Park in this just this visual here that we show the pathway. It's on the left hand corner and you can see the pathway cutting through the wall and connecting down to the existing park pathway. This might be beneficial as I know the village is looking to expand the Green Bay Trail leading from Park Avenue to Hazel, which may kind of impact that pad with the drinking fountain in the future, but this pathway adds around $8,000 to $20,000 to the cost of the project in the alternate, which is in the number that the board had previously discussed. And I just wanted to know if there was consensus that the plaza alternate included splitting the wall and adding the path.
We just want to make sure you were clear about that, or we didn't want anybody to be surprised going into it if we went that way. We could also say, wow, we don't want to split the wall. We don't want to put that little pathway in. Can you move that little hand over the pathway, Chris?
Can you guys see the cursor?
Yep. And so we could just keep the wall there and take the path along the side just to meet up with the sidewalk and still do the decorative pavers and clean up the wall and do plantings. But
I mean, the pavers are going to be a paver path leading to nowhere. So it's kind of integral in the design in the sense that it goes through the wall. But, in reviewing the notes for the meeting, we hadn't really discussed going through the wall with the path.
We just put it up there, but we never really discussed it.
And you're talking about that wall that needed repairs, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so we don't know if the same thing will happen on the other side, that we'll have to do major repairs to that one too. So.
And we do have a contingency in the parks budget for that, but... And of course, as it is an alternate, it would come back to the board for the for approval in the end. But we just didn't want to bid something out that and have it be a surprise when it got built.
Is that concrete or is it the same material?
It's concrete.
It's concrete.
Yeah, because it'll effectively become the entrance to the park.
Yeah, and we want to do concrete because it meets up with the other sidewalk and people use that as a... throw away for the train station, so we would want to plow it.
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
All right. Everybody else?
I'm kind of struggling with it. I guess I don't have a problem with making it easier to get into Golf Park from downtown Glencoe. But I'm not really sure we need a more cement sidewalk.
Is this one of those, Lisa, in the design of it? Could this be considered a desire path that John refers to, where people just walk this way anyway? You know what I mean? Like it's something that you know, or is this aesthetic? What is the function, purpose?
Yeah, I don't think it's a desired, very good question, Lisa. I don't think it's the desire line because right now there's a wall there. So people aren't going through the wall to walk there. They right now are taking the pathway that we have to the sidewalk and up.
Yeah.
It would look more uniform to the other side. So if you're looking at both of them, it kind of mirrors each other, where if you don't dissect the wall, it doesn't mirror each other, but you would still have the same decorative plaza.
I mean, I don't have John's gift of wordsmithing everything. My opinion is it might look a little hokey if we just have the bricks in front of the wall, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So this really becomes a gateway to entering the park.
True. Yeah, it's a good point.
It does provide a sense of entry.
Yeah. Kind of like placemaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I went with one of John's phrases anyway.
But that's a really good point. It would maybe look hokey right in front of that. So.
Yeah, that's like the Parks Guy version of that.
What would look hokey if you didn't? If you had the bisected wall and the.
If you didn't have the bisected wall, like you had a plaza leading to nowhere, you know.
Yeah, so Josh,
can you point to the plaza that you're talking about? Right, so what if you did that part, Chris, and then you just didn't do the sidewalk that's to the right of the wall?
That's what we're discussing. Because we wouldn't cut the wall if we weren't doing the sidewalk. Because if we cut the wall and we didn't do the sidewalk, it's just going to become a mud path, like Lisa Brooks had indicated.
Yeah.
So if we bisect the wall and we basically make it an entryway into the park, I just wanted to confirm that everybody knew what we were bidding.
Yeah, I guess I'm not that convinced that many people are going to walk through the wall and immediately head due south. The heavy usage is going to be when you've got some kind of event in that park and people are going to just kind of, I would imagine, kind of disperse out from, you know, when they're in that wall, not always go in the same direction. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I could be wrong, but
I see your point, Josh. It'd be interesting if they just put like a little, extended the plaza into the park on the other side of the wall, so like a landing, and then they go wherever they want to from there. But I don't,
exactly, that's exactly what I
meant. That transition is going to get heavily worn during any events and end up just mud.
Mud. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if John were here, he would. John and Josephine always talk about drawing people in, and focus and emphasis on the, you know, like the doorway, and I think this is probably that, and the fact that it provides symmetry to what's directly across the street, so that in terms of aesthetics and design, there's symmetry between the two corners, you know, with a split wall and then the entrance through the wall. So, I mean, it's 9:40. I can't really think straight, but I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Dudley, can you weigh in?
I think if you're going to do it, well, I think on the positive, it's balanced from the other side. It creates a sense of entry and makes the park, the entry to the park, a bigger deal, a better event, I guess. I don't really have the terms for this, but in the world of placemaking, that's been said earlier, you like to provide a sense of entry, either through planting or an arch, or in this case, it'll be a break in the stone wall, and you're actually in something. So it's a sense of enclosure into the park, and then there's this compression and release when you get into the park. So
I don't disagree with that part at all. Everything from to the northwest of the wall, as far as I can tell, is fine. I just don't understand the tadpole's tail there and paving more of the park with cement.
Michael?
I believe I was the one who voted not to pursue even the expense of this. So I'm going to abstain from the discussion here.
Well, Stephanie?
Well, I think this is just an option, right? So we can make that decision when we see the budget and what the numbers are.
Okay. Well, thank you. We just want to make sure there wasn't a surprise that that's how it was designed. Okay. That's good for that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Any other business?
The last thing we were going to say is that we went into phase four. I don't know if you have any interest in know what that is, because Bobby has a little presentation, but you just tell us if you're too tired to not even care what phase four means and we're going to handle it. We can do that, or we have a little slide, or we could just email you this little slide.
Totally your choice.
Totally your choice.
Won't be offended.
I'm still awake.
So I'll let others speak. I'm more familiar, maybe.
I'd like to see your slide, Bobby.
Three slides, but if you want.
Okay, we can do it. Go for it.
Bobby, come on. You can do
I'm
it.
I'm timing you.
Go ahead.
you guys are troopers. That? Good job on this meeting.
Okay, so as most of you know, we went back to phase four today. We were all the way at tier three, which is the most restrictive tiers we are in. Gone down pretty quickly to tier two, tier one, and now phase four. So we're back to the original Restore Illinois plan. How that impacts us is there's a couple of areas that will impact the district. So in fitness, we're able to operate at 50% capacity. It doesn't change the amount of people we're able to have, but there is a change to wearing face coverings. So you are now able to not wear a face covering when you're exercising. But when you're finished your exercising, you have to put it back on. So that is a change to face coverings. At Watts, we're still at the 50-person capacity 50% capacity. So we were able to remove the red barriers in the middle of Watts to use the whole rink. We are also following the sports guidelines, which I'll talk about briefly in the next slide. And face coverings are still required at the facility, no matter what. Takeoff, again, same capacity. We're down to 50 people groups or 50% capacity, whichever is lower, lesser. We're following those sports guidelines and wear face coverings other than the fitness center. Special events, we're at events with 50 people or 50% capacity with multiple groups allowed that are 30 feet apart. So this will come into play when we're doing outdoor special events. We're able to have multiple groups sitting in different areas. Face coverings are still required during that. The big change is the sports guidelines, as many of you heard. It really impacts two sports for us. It's basketball and hockey. They're in the high-risk category, which under phase four, high-risk goes to level three. So that allows for intra-conference or league play. So it does allow for some games. So you will notice, Watts, there will be games for somebody like a Winnetka Hockey. They'll be able to play. If they have a league going on, they will be able to play. They are still required to wear masks. And there is an allowance for spectators inside and outside if they're able to obey by the rules and social distance. So those are the major updates now that we're back in phase four. Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, Bobby, are we going to go above and beyond, like in the fitness center? Are we requiring masks still, or are we going to comply with, are we going to go down to the minimum, which is what the state's saying, not necessarily on when exercising?
It's a great question. So we've for 99% of everything we've done, we've followed the IDPH guidelines, and we're going to continue to do that. We are aware that people are uncomfortable with people not wearing masks, so we are going to make some designated mask-only times at the fitness center, which we were very successful with before the mask mandate came in. So we will follow that, and we'll communicate with members over the next 24, 48 hours about what those times are going to be.
Thank you.
Bobby, just not to draw this out unnecessarily, but as for the other sport, which would be basketball, is it a little too late in the season to gear that whole operation up?
Great. Another great question. So we've thought about that a lot. Because things change so quickly, our traditional travel season and house season, they're just not realistic that they would happen successfully and safely. So we've gone to more of a clinic-based model. So we're going to offer shorter clinics, and we're going to do scrimmages with local Glencoe teams while we're allowed to in this level three. And then if the mitigations change, we'll go back to more what is allowed. So maybe just play practices, individual practices. So we're still trying to get as much basketball in as possible, but it won't be Glencoe teams traveling to Deerfield or Lake Forest or Waukegan. It's going to be all very localized play.
Anything else for Bobby? Okay. Thank you, Bobby.
Great. No problem.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you all. You made it through a very long meeting.
Yeah, we all did, didn't we? Aren't we great?
You are great. I tell you.
Oh, okay. So I am going to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yep.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Onderdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Yes. Motion passes. Meeting.
Made me laugh there. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.